Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we stop now. We stop from all our busyness. We stop from all our running. We stop from all our complaining. We stop from all our concerns, our worries. We stop. Your word says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still. And so we still our hearts. We ask that in this moment, in this precious moment, you would help us be open to your work. Be open to your deep work that we so desperately need. We ask that you would help us to surrender all, to be fully present, right here, right now. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Amen. Been talking these last few weeks about what it would look like that if we saw Advent as an invitation to reset, to hit the reset button, to, okay, wait a minute, maybe, just maybe God has something different for us in our lives. What would it look like if we truly let God be God and we didn't try to carry around that burden? In this series, I shared with you that Advent actually means coming, that it was to celebrate Jesus' coming in that manger, but it's also a reminder for us that he's still coming back, that he promises to restore, to renew, that we're not done, that he's not done with us. He's going to restore and renew the whole world to himself. Talked a little bit last week about how the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. And that is the best kind of reset we could ever have. I want to talk to you about Christmas time today. When you think about Christmas time, what do you think of? What are the experiences you had growing up? Do you have that favorite sweater or those socks you wear once a year or those earrings you wear once a year or those special celebrations? Last night, changed my message because I had a whole separate thing set up here, but I wanted to show you a little Christmas time adventure that I was in last night. This beautiful town, you should go visit it one day. It's not too hard to check out, but hopefully you can see the beauty of it. Just when people think of Christmas, they can think of something just so iconic, right? I mean, it's just gorgeous. I hope you can see these images. They still don't do it justice when you really have a chance to check it out. There's even a picture of little Parker trying to check things out over there. My daughter's helping out, trying to see. He's just a little too short. That's, you know, in case you have that little one walk around and say, peace of Christ with you, you know, he's going around. That's Parker. We got Wesley and Holly, and he's smiling. Well, no, he's covering up, but this is their frontline ministry. This is one of their frontline ministries. This is what they do. They got it. It's a family tradition from the family that they just kind of started in a restaurant. They started putting up these little Christmas village kind of thing, and people would walk by in South Carolina. They'd check it out and be like, wow. And then over time, it kind of got passed down. And last couple years, they've been doing it out of their garage. They invite the neighborhood. They just kind of put it out there to kind of give you somewhat of a perspective. It's still bigger than what you can see. And they have a little finder, a scavenger hunt, where they give you a sheet, and it's got 10 to 20 things on there, depending on what they gave you. And you go through, and you try to find, okay, where's the firefighter looking and saving the cat out of the tree? And you're looking, there's no firefighter saving a cat. And you go around 20 times, there it is, and you find it and stuff. But it's one of those things where Christmas, for them, is something of a tradition that's being passed down. Again, you might have grown up with a different tradition. You might have experienced Christmas in all its glory with snow falling down, and you're just like, this is beautiful. We're going to be celebrating in a Christmas Eve service. We end our service with a candle lighting. And for many of you, that's something that you grew up with, and it's a very powerful time. All those are good. There's nothing wrong with that. It's all good. And it's something we should celebrate. We need those traditions. We need those moments that help remind us of who we are, where we come from. Maybe your family made a special meal, and that's the one time of the year family made that meal, and you just enjoyed it. It's amazing. The research, they find that if you smell something, you haven't smelled that in years, but you smell it, you immediately get that memory back. It can be decades, and yet you feel like, oh, that's what grandma used to do. Oh, my goodness. I haven't in years. And those are great things, but I want to share with you a message from a scripture in Luke chapter 2. We have two accounts of Jesus' birth and what it was like going on in that time period. Some of them are very historical in the fact of, like, you know, they give the genealogy and they're going through every step and they're kind of good stuff. And then there's other ones where you just go, this is would have just been absolutely mind-blowing. Like I don't know what to do with that. We don't have thousands of angels just coming to visit us on Christmas Eve kind of thing and saying, hey, guess what? Look what's happening. And yet these people did. And so they're trying to deal with it. You know, that just didn't happen. That wasn't a regular day thing. That was just something that you didn't talk about that. That never happened, right? And yet this is what happens to them. So let's just dig into it. Luke chapter 2. But the angel, okay, these are the shepherds. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Now, it's just one angel. Now, we have other pictures of angels, and we'll get to that in a second, but do not be afraid. He doesn't say hello, right? Doesn't say, like, great to see you. You know, you're doing a great job with the sheep. No, none of that goes on. He just, do not be afraid. Apparently, that could have been an issue. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. It's another word for king, anointed one. He is the King, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger, also known as a feeding trough. He didn't come in all the beauty and all the pageantry. He came in a manger in the mess. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. This would have been a little kind of a powerful moment, right? And don't get me wrong, I think it's amazing that God put skin on. I think it's amazing that he came as a baby. I think it's amazing he found a young teenage mother to give birth to him. I think it's amazing all these things that come together. But to have these shepherds, who again, outskirts, not the popular, not the ones in power, they control is sheep, okay? And here they are, and God reveals himself through these angels of what he's doing in the whole world. They become the first messengers. Now, we can just say, okay, glory to God in the highest, and he has all these angels kind of come, this heavenly host. We don't know how many. Someone said this last week to me. I was talking about it, and they said, I just picture, like, the whole place covered with angels, just thousands and thousands. And I was like, wow, I never thought of that. I thought, like, one, maybe three, I don't know, but I was like, wow. And they said, just lit up the whole sky. I went, text doesn't say it didn't. Just, we get focused on the manger, and that's not a bad thing. But the manger is just like breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs to who God is and what God is doing to his faithfulness. Glory to God in the highest heaven. What would it look like for our lives to be saying that? This is the word of the Lord. So these angels are not just some fat angels. They're not these little harp-looking ones, right? They just, you know, the Hallmark, they do a good job. But again, they make these little round angels that have little musical instruments, and they think that's what heaven's about, or you see this in, you know, cartoons and movies. That's not the picture we find in Scripture of angels. I pulled out just a couple, not a lot, but a couple of Scriptures that pull out and kind of give you an image, a visual of what these angels were like, and maybe why we can understand why they start off with, do not be afraid. This is in Genesis. After he drove the man out, this is Adam, aka Dirt Boy, really what Adam means, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim, okay, angels, and a flaming sword, hello, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. They have already chosen poorly. They've already rebelled against God, and God's like, listen, I don't want you to make the worst decision ever. That was a bad one. I'm working it out. I'm going to restore the whole world to myself. This is going to impact the rest of the world, what you just did. For the rest, until I end time. And he says, but I'm not going to let you make it permanent. And so he says, listen, you're out. It's not because I'm mad. I'm not angry. I'm not out to get you. I want to protect you. And so here's some boundaries. You're not allowed back in. Because if you ate from this tree, then it's permanent. We're not going to let that happen, right? But he's got these massive angels protecting. Then we have in Matthew, where Jesus is talking about to the disciples. He's being arrested and stuff like that. Do you not think I cannot call on my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. That's roughly 72,000. He could call it down. He could stop it. He could end it all right there and then. But he doesn't, because that's not what God had for him. And then at the last book in our scripture, Revelation, this is kind of a little intense, to say the least. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, hello, and was covered with eyes all around. That's not creepy. Even under its wings. What? Hello. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Holy, by the way, is not a super spiritual word. It's a word that means different, separate, distinct, that there's no one like him. There's no one like our God. They continued, who was and is to come. Who was and is to come. Angels. I know, not very scientific. There's a lot of stuff in Scripture, a lot of stuff that we have, historical evidence, archaeological evidence. There's so much. We have over 30,000 pieces of Scripture that work together, that we have put together that over the years, that we know what the Scripture is. This isn't just kind of a couple copies. We have 5 copies of Homer's Iliad. That's it in the whole world. We have 30,000 various parts that make up our Bible. I get it. We really want to look at what the facts are. We want to understand things at a granular level. We want to believe and yet still test and challenge and say, okay, what's going on here? What's happening here? Angels, though, that kind of goes outside the test tube, doesn't it? That's not really easy to explain. Can we talk about something else there, Pastor? What about this? What about that? Some things are just so much bigger. So much bigger than what we can understand. And I think these angels are just a foretaste to the greatness of God. And he's wanting us to understand how big, how amazing, how wonderful, how powerful. And yet he humbled himself and put skin on. To come as a baby so that we could be in a relationship with him. So that the world could be remade and restored and renewed. I wonder. So in this Christmas time, again, thinking about your traditions, thinking maybe how busy life is for you, thinking about how challenging maybe some of the things you've experienced. Maybe it was a rough week at work. Maybe you were not well. Maybe you were ill. You went in the hospital. Again, if you tell us, we'll visit you. But I want you to know there's tough times. Again, I mentioned how Ken had no intention of hurting himself again. Curious, maybe there was an injury there that they found afterwards. But either way, not intending to have surgery 2 weeks in a row. Well, actually, 1 week. Wow, he did it all in 1 week. Wow, that's amazing. Life happens. Sometimes it goes according to our plan. And that's exciting. That's wonderful. But how much of life doesn't? How much of your life didn't go to the plan that you had intended? Maybe, just maybe, God is at something, at work, at something bigger, deeper, wider. I heard through the grapevine, some of you that have been here a few weeks know that I give one benediction. It's the benediction that I first heard entering into ministry, and it grabbed my heart, and I said, if I ever am a pastor of church, that's what I'm doing. And the very first Sunday that I was installed, I started using it. And so the phrase is, you go nowhere by accident. Well, it got to through the grapevine that someone wanted to ask me, like, can we talk about that one more time? Like, what is that? For Ken's sake. You go nowhere by accident. I don't know about that there, Pastor. I get that. That's why it's so bold. One, I believe it's an amazing truth. But two, it's challenging. Because every one of us has been through situations where we go, that's not where I wanted to go. But you go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you, he has something he wants to do through you. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But it's about us working with him and surrendering. Maybe Christmas is bigger than the tree and the ornaments. Beautiful, fun, wonderful. Then the Christmas lights. We do it. It's great. Then the stockings or the secret Santas. All good. Maybe God wants to grab a hold of our hearts and do something that just, he so loves us and wants, it says, you need this more than you realize. It starts with a reset. It starts with us humbling ourselves, saying, Lord, not my will, your will. Help me surrender to you now. I guarantee you, Ken Edgerly had a few questions for God after that moment sitting in the ER again, within a week, going, Lord, really? Really? And yet, I have no doubt. Sue even said, I know God's got a plan for this. That takes great faith. You don't know what God's at work in your life. No one in this room that I know of, if I'm wrong, go ahead and show me a hand, has a perfect life. Okay, just checking. But God doesn't grant us no troubles, but he does promise his peace. This is the Hebrew word, phonetically spelled out in English, shalom. We call it peace in English. It's not just absent of conflict. It is, of course, that, but so much deeper. At the deepest level, there's wholeness in your life. Salvation, rescue has come. Renew, restored. You're becoming who God always intended you to become. The peace of Christ, it passes all understanding. It's beyond words. In fact, it's the only thing that sometimes can get us through the darkest of times. The shalom of God, he wants every part of your life to be renewed and touched by him. He promises his peace, but it starts with a conversation. A conversation with God. Lord, where do I need to be restored? Where do I need to let go? Where do I need to trust you more in? What relationship with others do I need to start really laying it before you and asking your strength, your grace, your power? And finally, with ourselves. Do you have that peace with yourself? Do you still carry the burdens and the baggage and the luggage and all the stuff that you carried, that you, all the mistakes, all the regrets, all the challenges, and you just keep dragging them wherever you're at? All the things you're angry about. You know someone, I know someone that is angry at God. Maybe that's you. And if you are, I'm sorry about that. Here's the good news. He's big enough to handle it. No matter where you're at, no matter what questions you have, he's big enough. But the baggage that you're carrying, you're not supposed to have to carry that. God wants to take it away from you. He wants to let you know, listen, I want you to travel light. That's really what Psalm 23 is all about. If you're not familiar, you should check it out. Let that be your homework this week. Psalm 23. He invites us to walk with him, and he walks with us. You go nowhere by accident. But we are easily fooled to thinking that our peace comes from the perfect relationship, the bank accounts that are full, the good education, the prestigious job. Isn't it true? Sometimes the blessings we crave may actually turn into desires that destroy the peace of God that he wants to give or that he's given. Maybe this reset button is for you to just let that go and say, it's not about that anymore. Maybe God has something different. No matter our circumstances, peace which only comes from God, that's the peace that we're talking about. That's the peace that transforms. That's the peace that when people meet you and know you and know what you've been through, go, how do you do it? Like, there's no way. Like, what's going on? The challenges of the gentleman behind me health-wise, peace of God, only way. The challenges of the people you're sitting next to, peace of God, only way. But if you don't know this peace or you have not been living in this peace, then it starts with a conversation. It starts with saying, Lord, help me to breathe it in and breathe it out and let you be God. Let you carry all the challenges. Because we're really good about picking up other stuff that we're not supposed to carry. And then we start just going. And then that journey gets harder and harder. Maybe God never intended for us to carry that. So where do you need God's peace in your life? Where do you need God to just take over? Where do you need to surrender? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace, your mercy that's so much bigger than what we know, than what we maybe have been living. Every one of us, Lord, every one of us needs your peace, needs to be restored. So, Lord, would you help us experience more and more of that, moment by moment, by our having more conversations with you, by our learning to let go of the past, to forgive ourselves, maybe even to forgive you, dare I say, to not be your judge, but to walk with you as a child, walking with the most trusted of all parents, one who made us before the and knew us before the beginning of time, knew who we were and loved us completely. Help us, Lord, in this reset. Help us to experience your peace we so desperately need. Lord, we pray for our community. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, around the nation, and we ask that you would raise up leaders. May they walk in accordance to your will, to your purposes. Lord, we pray for wisdom and favor and humility, that they may serve you well. We pray for all those who are hurting, those who are sick. We thank you for good reports of those who are coming back. But Lord, we ask that you would continue to just give the grace and the strength needed for those that just don't know where to turn, what to do, how to move forward. And so we surrender that to you. We thank you for bringing Noah and Alex back. We pray that you'd bless them and their time with family. Thank you for how they serve our country. And Lord, continue to keep your blessings upon them. Lord, we also just want to lift up the church. It was your idea, not ours. We tend to keep working through it, but Lord, we ask that you would fill us up afresh. Help us to believe in what you're doing, not only here at All Villages, but at the Grove, Palm City, Indy River, the church, universal. We pray, Lord, your will be done. We pray this because that's what you told your disciples when you taught them to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.